We're going to be reading Psalm 66 this morning, so I'll give you a chance to find that in your Bible. Psalm 66. Okay, Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
So about 10 years ago, I went on a little trip to New Zealand, a couple of weeks of holiday. It was my first time travelling anywhere by myself. It was a bit of an opportunity for me to get out and meet some new people and find some adventure. New Zealand is perfect for that. The views are picturesque. You can ski, you can hike, you can jump off stuff, you can climb stuff, you can speed around in jet boats, you can roll down big hills in these giant plastic balls. If I had to sum it up in one word, I'd have to say it's pretty awesome. And I think you'd have to agree. It looks pretty awesome, right? But here's the problem. Somewhere over the course of time, what the word awesome means has kind of shifted and it's been skewed. And I wonder if I asked some of our teens up the front here to define awesome for me, they'd probably say it means cool or amazing. We can't blame them for thinking that, because that's the way our culture has shifted. I actually found a couple of funny definitions on Urban Dictionary. The first one, it says cool, hip, exciting. Yep, sounds about right. But here's my favourite, and if there are any Americans here, look, I apologise, but it says it's something for Americans to use to describe everything. I'm not sure about you, but if a word's being used to describe everything, then I think the meaning is getting watered down just a touch. Now, last week we got to see that awesome, it actually comes from the Bible. And it doesn't mean cool or hip or exciting. So let me give you the true definition of awesome once again. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to fear, to be afraid, to show reverence, to honor, to respect, to cause astonishment and awe. It's a word that's meant to make you stop and take note. So this week we're going to spend some time in another psalm, and we're going to see how truly awesome our great God is. And hopefully we'll also get to see how these psalms point us to Jesus. Last week we had a look at Psalm 65. This week we're into Psalm 66. If you've got your Bible there, keep it open. And we'll see that Psalm 66, it's in our Bibles as one single psalm. But as we jump into it in some more detail, We're going to break it into three main points. Come and see, come and praise, come and hear. Come and see, come and praise, come and hear. And then we'll finish with a call to go and tell. So let's get into our passage from verse 1. It says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds." There's that word awesome in there. "So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. How awesome are your deeds that your enemies cringe before you." You can definitely see there that we're not talking in terms of cool, hip, and exciting, are we? God's enemies, they know how powerful he is. And we've got the word awesome there to describe God's deeds. But by the fact that they're falling at his feet in submission, that means fear. We're also seeing here, as we read on, the other parts that make up the word awesome. From verse 4, "All the earth bows down to you and sing praise to you." That's the reverence and the honour and the respect that's being shown towards God. Now, there's another moment in the New Testament where we see this again, and it's in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2. Only Paul, he takes it that step further to speak not only of God's enemies, but the whole earth. He's describing Jesus and the honour and the respect that he is most certainly due. And it says, "God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It's just this incredible visual, much like at the start of the classic movie, The Lion King, you know, where all the animals kind of come together and they come from far and wide, and little baby Simba gets presented to the world for the first time. Everyone's coming together before Jesus. They're singing his praises. They're bowing before him to show him the honour and the respect that he's due as the Son of God. Truly awesome. He is awesome. He is powerful. And as we read on from verse 5, the psalmist is actually sharing with us a couple of examples from Israel's history. "Come and see," he says. "Come and see what God has done. His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land, and they passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him." Pretty incredible examples to pick. The psalmist is referring to not one, but two events in Israel's history where God turned water into dry land for his people to walk across. The first event comes in the book of Exodus in chapter 14, where God's people, after being slaves to Egypt for over 400 years, having faced horrific conditions, finally escaped the clutches of Pharaoh. But as they're making their escape, they arrive at the shoreline of the Red Sea, with Pharaoh's armies in pursuit of them. And they're trapped. Nothing but the ocean in front of them and an angry army coming up behind them. But then we see God tell Moses to hold up his staff and stretch out his hand, and the sea parts, creating these towering walls of water, but a clear path for God's people to escape to safety on dry land. Not a single person got their feet wet as they walked across. Wow. If that wasn't awesome enough, in Joshua chapter 3, God does it again. After escaping that slavery in Egypt, God's people have been wandering through the blistering, hot desert for 40 years, waiting for the day that they might enter the land that God has promised them. They end up at the Jordan River, the only thing separating them from the promised land. And this river, it was full to overflowing, the waters rushing through at this rate of knots, and there was no way they were getting across. But God told the Israelite priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, which is this big gold-plated chest that housed the two tablets that had the Ten Commandments written on them. He told them to take the ark, carry it to the water's edge. And the priests were hesitant. The rivers flowing rapidly in front of them and would sweep them away easily. And God wants them to carry this big, heavy box into it? I don't know. But the priests did as God commanded them. And again, we see this incredibly awesome spectacle. Upstream, the river stopped dead in its tracks, revealing dry ground yet again for God's people to walk across safely. And the Israelites could finally enter God's promised land. So not one, but two examples of God parting waters, revealing bone-dry ground so his people can get across. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty awesome, no matter what your definition of awesome looks like. So when they say in verse 7 that God rules forever by his power, that he's watching the nations, it's serving as a warning to the nations, to all of us, that God is all-powerful, he's our rescuer, our redeemer. I just told you, he's got the power to split seas. Don't rebel against God. He deserves our respect for saving us, not our rebellion. And that theme, it carries all the way through to the New Testament. I said at the start that this psalm would point us to Jesus, and here's how. There's no water, there's no sand, there's no Pharaoh chasing after us, but Jesus is our rescuer. And like the Israelites crossed the Red Sea to safety, and they crossed the Jordan River to start their new life in the Promised Land, because of Jesus, we can cross over from death to life. Jesus deserves our respect for saving us, not our rebellion. As we continue to work our way through this psalm, we hear this call from the psalmist to come and praise. Can I tell you that something I really like about living in this area? You guys ever noticed how the sounds kind of bounce around everywhere? Maybe it's just me. But I don't know if it's the way the hills are formed around here or if it's the way the wind blows, but you can always hear when there's a big event on somewhere nearby, at the local school or if it's concert night at the Eaton's Hill Hotel, because you're always going to hear that music reverberating around, or the sound of an announcer on a loudspeaker. But one of my best memories growing up around here was from the time of year when a local church put on its annual youth festival. And this thing would just go off every year. And you'd be able to hear from a suburb or two over that hundreds of teens were together to hear about Jesus and to worship him. So as I read this passage and I got to verse 8, it says, "Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard." That's what it reminded me of. That each year, thousands of people that live in our area would hear those sounds of praise to God reverberating through the hills of our community. I think that's pretty special. So the psalmist has called all of God's people to praise him. Let that praise be heard. Verse 9 continues on, "He's preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." I think we need to stop at this point and let's just take a look at those few verses again. We start in verse 8 with this call for all people to be praising God. But then what's quite surprising is what they're praising God for. "You tested us, refined us, brought us into prison, laid burdens on our backs, through fire and water to end up in this place of abundance." It's pointing us to the horrific conditions that the Israelites faced as slaves in Egypt. Whipped, beaten. Even when they escaped from Egypt, they were stuck at the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army bearing down on them and nowhere to run. don't know about you, but if someone threw me in prison, ran me over, piled all kinds of burdens on me, I wouldn't then be turning around and saying, hey, great, thanks. Well, maybe I would, but it would probably be quite sarcastic. So looking back at these words, if you look with me, the key words for us are, you tested us, you refined us. It's this reminder for us that we should praise God in the bad times, not just the good. During their time in slavery in Egypt, the Israelites were put through the ringer, that's for sure. But if you imagine it like you might see it at a refinery, the gold or silver or oil, that refining process it's there to get rid of any little impurities or nasties from the final product. By heating it up, by melting it down, sifting through it, testing it constantly to make that final product the best that it can be. That's what the psalmist is calling us to praise. They know how tough it's been for the Israelites. They know it's been rough. But they can still see how God has been at work, testing them, refining them, getting rid of all the little impurities and nasties from their hearts. We heard earlier that God parted the Red Sea, allowing his people to escape their prison and ultimately deliver them to this place of abundance. How awesome is that? Now, I'm sure it didn't feel awesome for the Israelites at the time, but looking back in hindsight, the psalmist is showing us that God is still worthy of our praise. It's the same for us, isn't it? When we go through challenging times, it just feels hard. It's often not until we are on the other side of it that we can see God's hand. Let's praise to God for testing and refining us. But more than that, praise to God for sending his son Jesus so that we could be brought to that place of abundance and our own relationships with God. Awesome. So now what we get to hear are the psalmist's own thoughts, reflections after God's testing and refining of his people. Because we've heard how horrific it was for them in Egypt, but there was also times when Israel went against what God had instructed. God is always working. So that's why verse 16 starts out like it does. Come and hear. Come and hear. All you who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me. Let me tell you what he has done for me. We get to hear about this key defining moment for the psalmist. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. It's this light bulb moment for the psalmist as they reflect on Israel's history. This, oh, bing, I finally get it. Now let me tell you all about it. God freed us from the terrible slavery of Egypt. He split the ocean in two so that we could escape. And that was pretty incredible. And sure, there were times where we wished that we were back in Egypt because the food was better. But God always provided for us what we needed. Maybe not what we wanted, but he gave us what we needed. He challenged us, refined us into the people of God that we are today. How good is that? Thank you, Lord. It should serve as this light bulb moment for us as well. It's another reminder of Jesus, because Jesus prayed to his Father before he was crucified. He prayed. But there was no spite or hatred or cherished sin in his heart as he did that. No hypocrisy. Even at a time where Jesus was certainly being tested, his response to his Father is always one of perfection and obedience. And God listened to his Son's prayer and gave us what we needed by sacrificing his Son and spilling his blood on that cross, saving us. God has surely listened. There's definitely this past experience that the psalmist is drawing on as they share their testimony. God has clearly worked in their heart, and they feel like they can share that They used to have sinful motives in their heart, but now those motives are gone. And it works to give them credibility as they share their story. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. God does listen. And God did a work in this person's life. So much so that they've now got the confidence to say that their prayers to God are heard. And even more than that, the confidence to go and tell people about it. And so what we're seeing here at the end of our passage is the psalmist sharing their testimony. They've gone through this period where they struggled to see God working in their life. But we've seen them stop and reflect and realize God's covenantal love for Israel. That, hey, God has actually been working. Maybe not in the way I expected him to or wanted him to. There's been times where we've rejected God. There's been times where we've hardened our hearts. But he's been working. God stayed committed to his people. And now they're an advocate for God. Have you ever felt like that? As followers of Jesus, we have the same call to share our reflections on how he's worked in our lives. Because quite often it's not in the way that we wanted or in the way that we expected. But God is always working. And Jesus has gone before us and he's given us incredible gifts. Forgiveness of sins, adoption into God's family, grace, hope, rescue from God's wrath, redemption through the blood he spilt on the cross. He's given us a reason to live. And there are so many more. We've seen what awesome truly is through these gifts. We've seen fear. We've seen reverence. We've seen how we're compelled to honor and respect Jesus. That his sacrifice for us is awe-inspiring, astonishing. If you didn't know who Jesus is before today, this is your invitation to come and know him. Come and talk to someone at the Connect desk after our gathering today. Let us tell you about Jesus. Let's get you along to the next Hope Explored. Because that's what's on offer here this morning. To know the awesome God of the Bible. And the offer to be saved by his son Jesus. It's an incredible offer. And so for those of us that know the reality of it, we should feel compelled to tell everyone about it. Jesus himself tells us in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. He says, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man who had been demon-possessed and was now free went away and began to tell the people in the cities how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. I think there are often times where we have a hesitancy to share our own stories. It might be because we're worried about what people will think. Maybe they'll think that they're boring. Maybe people won't be amazed. Maybe they won't go, wow. But the going and the telling of what God has done for us, it can create this sense of amazement in people when we share it. And that sense comes straight from God working in their hearts. That's the response that we should be expecting when we share our testimonies and when we share about Jesus. That people walk away with this awe-inspiring respect and this sense of amazement for what God has done in our lives. But it's up to us to seize that opportunity. This week was the funeral for Queen Elizabeth II. And personally, I'm not normally one to follow the royal family. But what I did find interesting was hearing from a Christian commentator that the Queen meticulously planned her own funeral to make sure that her deep Christian faith was still clear on a day of spectacular ceremonies conducted with a military precision. Now, whether or not you liked the Queen, there is something quite remarkable about the way that she seized the opportunity. She would have known that billions of people would tune in to watch her funeral. So she thought, I'm going to show them Jesus. I'm going to make sure that my testimony of faith is shared and that we can share about Jesus Christ with the billions of people who tuned in to watch this week. And some of whom may never have even heard of Jesus. If that's not an example of confidence that the Queen had to go and tell, I don't know what is. So let's be encouraged by that. And so as we finish this morning, I want to take a moment to share some of my own story, how God has worked in my life. And maybe it might give you some confidence to seize that opportunity to share your own stories. I was raised in a home with strong morals, but not necessarily a Christian home. I went to the local Uniting Church with my family, and I had an understanding of God. But it wasn't actively being modeled at home. And at our church, there wasn't this huge emphasis on who Jesus was or the importance of having a relationship with him. It wasn't until after high school at a different church that I got to experience the sheer gravity of what Jesus has done for me for the first time as I watched a skit at a youth festival at the church. God has always used music in my life to help stir me, and there was this song playing during the skit. It just made the whole thing that I was witnessing in this skit, it just made it so much more impactful. It was there that I made the decision to take my own faith journey more seriously and to follow Jesus. But it wasn't until moving to Dalby for work with my wife and starting attending the local Presbyterian church that I was properly pushed and challenged spiritually. Since then, God has grown me immensely and given me some incredible people to walk alongside and to serve with. It's because of that growth and the faith and trust that I have in God that I had the courage to take the leap and move back here to Brisbane to study and serve in gospel ministry. So that's a bit of my story. It's not the most exciting coming to faith story, but it is mine. And I put my trust in Jesus that it impacts who it's meant to. And maybe that's you today. Maybe my story has encouraged you to want to know more about Jesus. Or maybe it's compelled you to write down your own testimony so you can help others come and see our Lord Jesus, to come and praise him, to come and hear what Jesus has done for us, all those incredible gifts that he's given to us through his own sacrifice. He's our Redeemer. He's our Rescuer. He is awesome. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you've invited us in to reflect on this song of praise, to come and see the awesome deeds you've done for us. So for that we praise you. We can celebrate, but Lord, we also remember the times where things have been tough. Help us to remember that, Lord. You are always working, even though it might be different to what we might want or expect. You are always working. You sent us your Son, Jesus, your incredible gift to us, our Redeemer, our Rescuer, a gift to be celebrated, a gift for us to go out into the world and share with anyone that we can. Give us that confidence to share our own stories of faith. And we pray all these things in our Son's precious and mighty name. Amen.